Today's daf in Masechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Vav. And unfortunately, we have some amazingly fascinating Gemaras, which take a little bit longer than usual. I'm asking for your patience, because I don't think it's worth skipping all of this. And you can see there's some little ones that are interested in participating fully. We got to stock them up with some boost over here. There we go. And we're ready to go. Now, here's the deal. What we've been looking at is some very complex interrelated halakhas, which have brought us to Gzera Shava that connects the three main psukim that we were talking about that have to do with generations going up and generations going down, either directly genetically, or through marriage to a woman, and it's her genes going up or going down. So it would mean a mother-in-law or a grandmother-in-law or a paternal grandmother-in-law and so on. Those three psukim, you'll recall, two of them were nachrimot, one of them was in kedushim. They brought us the isurim, that is to say the azharot, which are separate from the onashim, and the onashim, namely sreifa, to all of those issues. So far, all of Sreifa that would have compared the Ervas Isha Ubita Bat Bina Bat Bita to Isha Be'et Ima to Bat Bincha or Bat Bitecha. And this was a complex interrelationship of two Gezera Shavas, Hena, Hena, Zima, Zima, which appear all over Shas. And it's Kedai for two reasons to recognize that there are some very special issues here. One is that Hena Hena and Zima Zima are ubiquitous. We keep finding them in so many different places because they're nogea so many of our understandings. And we've seen even here, we have barely really touched upon some of the broader elements of this particular Gzera Shava. But also because the underlying mechanisms of Gzera Shava are addressed over here by Rava, and he has some tremendous chidushim in how it is that we're supposed to apply Gzera Shavas in general. And that is that we go into over here Rava's take on the broader implications of the two approaches to Gzera Shavas, of whether don mina umina, v'don mina u'uki ba'atra. And the reason that this is important is because it points out the underlying structure of the way we're meant to understand the dinim of the Torah when they're applied in a Gzera Shava fashion. Because, look, talking about Gzera Shava, I mean, you cannot really have a complete consonance between one sugya and another, because there's always going to be some particularities that are either inapplicable, contradictory, structurally different. And the question is, how far do we go when we talk about Gzera Shava? The difference between the don mina umina and don mina b'yuki batra was very profound. Domina Umina says Gzera Shava is basically blind. It's simply telling you, look, whatever din you found over here, you're going to have to apply over there. But it doesn't really matter whether it fits with the other dinim that you have in the place that you're attempting to apply it to. But now the question is, that's Domina Umina. And now the question is, that's all very nice, but what if in the application you end up with a contradiction to the underlying assumptions of the original source for the Gzera Shava in its place? And this is what Rava wants to handle today. The other approach to the concept of the Gzera Shava was Don Mina V'Uki Ba'atra. Now that makes it even more complicated, because what it's saying is take the essential issue that you're attempting to derive from here, but only apply it contextually in its place. Now, that obviously is going to run into a lot of problems, because very often to apply something contextually will end up with certain basic contradictions to how it was applied in its original format, in its place. You're going to say, don mina, but ignore the context at which it appeared originally, and now uki batra. So is that going to always be consistent? Obviously not. So therefore, Rava wants to analyze, in our particular case, how we are able to answer the question, and these were just like little tweak questions that forced us to look deeper into the mechanism of the Gzeirah Shavah of Heina Heina Zima Zima. The question that we originally asked, and we're going to continue to ask questions like these to force us into a deeper clarity of how this Gzeirah Shavah works. And I know the Gemara dedicates an awful lot of time to the implications of Gzeirah Shavah, and I am taking my cue from the Gemara and also trying to give us the experience of understanding what's going on over here. So the first way that we attempt to tweak our understanding was by asking why that Gzeirah Shavah, I understand it works out fine the way we've learned it, that we're able to compare all of these dinim to each other because they're strongly linked. Guess what the strong link is? The strong link is this perek, Eloheina Nisrafim. That's exactly the point. So it's easy to maintain a consistency across the two sugyas because you're not going to run into a lot of contradictions. Everything, after all, is essentially the same type of genetic relationships, and everything is the same chiyuv. It's all sreifa. So what got us thinking yesterday and what forced us out of the mold to have to understand the deeper questions was, why can't we use the Gzeirah Shavah to create an entirely new idea that we actually had never thought of before, which is that in the same way that this pasuk, this series of psukim, introduced a third generation in the situation of a wife, right? So the wife going down is three generations, she, her child, her grandchild, whether through a male or a female, and she, her mother, and her grandmother. And now we compared that also of the Zecharim and then it gave us. If we find that the Torah is makpid on the genes going up and down from your wife, then the Torah was also makpid on the genes going up and down from you directly. And that was the understanding that we had yesterday of Zecharim and Akevas, which led to the interesting question. So why not address the actual case of you and say, you never knew that you weren't allowed to sleep with your grandmother, did you? But you should learn it from here. Yes, the Rabbanan said that that's an extension of the Arayas, the Shniya Ba'arayat. But the fact is that it ought to be a Diraita based on this very Gzeirah Shavah. And we should say, just like a wife, if you are usser, you're usser not only on her mother, but on her grandmother, so too the Zecharim. You should be usser on your own grandmother. Now, that was a tremendous challenge because we know that it's not so. We know that it's only a Shniya. And we're going to have to understand, is that because of some basic fact that we're overlooking in how to apply a Gzeirah Shavah, or is there a simple answer? So yesterday we learned that Abaya says there's a simple answer. The simple answer is the Torah went out of its way to stress imchahi, which means only your mother, not your grandmother. All right, sort of by fiat, that's the halacha. Rava says, no, this is a fantastic place for us to start analyzing how it is that a Gzeirah Shavah will work. And therefore, he analyzed the entire structure in a way that showed us that it leads to irreconcilable contradictions. And if you go in one direction, you end up with a contradiction. And if you go in the other way, you end up with a contradiction. Now, since we're going to have a lot more of these contradictions that Rava is going to prove in the course of our further examinations, I don't want to drive you crazy and go over again the contradictions that we went through yesterday. I hope that you'll get a chance to review them because the insight into how structure works in the Torah, and remember that the Yud Gimel Midos are elements of structure. They're fundamental differences in the Yud Gimel Midos, which is whether the entire structure of the Torah is in terms of klal, prat, or klal, or whether it's in terms of miut, ribui, miut. These are very central, foundational questions of how is the Torah structured. These are not just little issues that are brought up. People are trained, unfortunately, because they don't pay attention. In normal training of Bnei Torah, they don't pay attention to the underlying issues. So they think, you know, okay, it's a little question, this K'nech, that K'nech. These are unbelievably important ways of understanding how it is that we approach Har Sinai and what it is that it's meant to teach us in terms of utilization of our minds as the appreciation of Torah Shebaal Peh and how it interacts with Har Sinai. So the question over here is, again, we're going to take the next case, I won't, as I said, I'm going to try to be a very good boy, and I'll try as much as possible to go quickly through this, and I hope you'll have patience, and just because I really think it's an amazing, stunning argument that we have, that Rava is providing us over here. So let's start, instead of going over yesterday's Gemara and making you nuts, I'll let you do that yourself. And let's take a new question, which is meant to prod us also in the same direction, which is, okay, I understand why it is according to Abaye and why it is according to Rava that we will not learn out your grandmother from her grandmother, even though that seems on the surface to put a real dent in the way that we saw these two sugyas relating. I get another question for you today. My other question for you is there's another thing that we should learn. And that is on the end of the fifth line, the last word on the end of the fifth line, that's what I want to look at. We've been talking about children from her, children from you, parents from her, and parents from you. But what we have neglected to look at is children-in-laws from her and from you. Okay, now the question is, therefore, what we want to raise now is why don't we say that the Gezerah also proves that we're relating, we said, the males to the females, right? So then why don't we say, Imahu kalato asura? Look, I mean, it says beferish in the Torah that ervat kalatcha lo tegale eshet bincha hi lo tegale ervata. Your son's wife, you are asura in. Now, why don't we say that if your wife has a son-in-law, if your wife has a daughter-in-law through her son, then you should also be usur on that daughter-in-law. Because, I mean, what we said is that the male and the female are the same. That's what we've been trying to interrelate it, right? So we've been taking all of the relatives from her, even though they're not related to you at all. But if you married her, you get those relatives. And then we related that to all of those genetic equivalents from you, all of whom are bastards, but it doesn't matter. What we're talking about, they're all only related to you, and they're not related to your wife because you don't have a wife. Okay, so then we should also say, if one of those bastards took a wife, what's the din? You're going to be treating that woman as your daughter. She's going to be asura to you, right? So then if one of the children of the wife that you married has a son who took a wife, you should treat her as a daughter too, because so far we've seen that all of these types of relationships, of parent-child relationships, are the same from the male and the female side. So now why don't we apply the same exact drasha of heina heina, zima zima, to extend this into also in-laws? Why do we say that only your own son's wife is usher to you, but not your wife's son's wife? So Abaye has got the same simple approach. Abaye says, well, I have a simple answer. The Torah specifically took that out of the running, because when it spoke about the iser of your kalatcha, it throws in the same weird thing that it does by your mother. It says, by Imcha, it says, Imcha hi, thank you very much. I know my mother is my mother. And over here, it does the same thing. Eshet bincha is repeated for no reason. It says, don't marry kalatcha. After all, she is eshet bincha. Well, obviously, that's what it means to be kalatcha. So when it says that repetitive word, she is your son's wife, that's coming to tell me that is the only chiyuv that we are going to put upon you, your son's wife, but not your wife's son's wife. That's the point. Rava says, no, that's not the point. The point is much more fundamental than that. There is no way to apply the Gzeira Shava to this circumstance. Now, that is, again, Rav is going to do this again and is going to allow us to look at the logic that's involved in why we cannot use this Gzeira Shava. So, look. First, says Rav, let's remember, there are two ways of learning Gzeira Shavas in general. One is Don Mina Omina, and one is Don Mina V'Uki Batra. Now, I want to show you No matter how you understand the nature of the application of Gezeirah Shavah, this is not going to work. Why? This is a brilliant analysis of Rava, who extends the structural meaning of Minah and Atrah. Okay? And he insists that it needs to be structurally similar and not only logical and rational in terms of its output. That's the important Kiddush of Rava. So Rava says, okay, let's take it from the top. What I'm saying is, whether you hold Don Mina Mina, or whether you hold Don Mina Vu'uki Ba'atra, this is not going to work. Why? So I'll take them one by one. Let's see how it works. Lo'ati, I say it doesn't work. I want to start to see where we end up in a dead end, no matter where we start. L'man d'omer Don Mina Mina. Okay, so let's say we have a simple application of Gezeirah Shavah. It says her, and it says you, and by you it adds your son and your son's wife. It should therefore apply to her, her son's wife. Okay, that's what you want to say. Mahi kalata asura, so to hinami kalata is asura to you. And now we're going to apply don mina. That's what we want to be don, and now we want to mina it. We want to say, let's put exactly the same halacha. Okay, I'll put the same halacha. What is the din by the male's daughter-in-law? What's her halacha? Somebody who sleeps with his daughter-in-law, is that a chiyuv sreifa? No, it's not included here in Eloheinu Nisrafim. It was included in Eloheinu Niskalim, correct? So this was one of the Niskalim. So we did. If you say don mina omina, that means that you naively apply all of the halachas that are in the source, that is his daughter-in-law, and you're going to apply it directly to her daughter-in-law. That's what you're going to say. So afhinani, that means your wife's daughter-in-law, if you sleep with her, you're going to be chayav skila. But that is ridiculous. Why do I say it's ridiculous, says Rava? Well, there too, we're going to have to actually branch, because we're not sure what's more chomer. Is skila more chomer, or is sreifa more chomer? That was the old machlokas that we had back at the beginning in the structure of the Mishnah that went through the Arba Mitot Beit Din. So we had two different orders of that Arba Mitot Beit Din. Okay. According to one, skila was on top. According to the other, sreifa was on top. All right. So now let's think about that. If you hold that skila is more chomer, then you've got an obvious problem with the whole way that you're learning over here. Because isn't it so that you're trying to learn out from a case of your daughter-in-law that is skila and apply it to your wife's daughter-in-law that it should be skila? But you can't do that because it only makes sense to learn out from him that his daughter-in-law is skila because the Torah views these relationships in his life as skila-oriented. What's the din if he sleeps with his mother? Skila. So the din if he sleeps with his daughter-in-law? Skila. In other words, all these parent-child relationships, by him, it should be the same. That makes sense. But now you're going to go and you're going to say that therefore we should learn out to a different case, assuming that skila is chomer, in which the Torah is not as makbid, is it? I mean, you're only chayav sreifa in the case of sleeping with the mother-in-law, as opposed to skila, which is your own mother. So then that means that the Torah is telling you, you're attempting to apply a halacha of skila, which is a chumrah, from a case which is consistently chumrah, his own mother, and you're going to now try to apply it illogically to a case where you're going to take the chumrah and apply it to a case where it's consistently kula. It's consistently sreifa. How can you learn out a chomer case to apply to a less chomer case? That's a violation of logic. So that doesn't make sense at all. That's my first point, okay? Now, not to mention the completely ridiculous result that you get. Because the result that you get is, va'od, what's the din of your wife's daughter, sleeping with your wife's daughter? We just said what the din is. The din is sreifa. So you're telling me that the wife's daughter is besreifa, but her daughter-in-law, who isn't even related to her, is beskila? Isn't that a little bit ridiculous? We're going to be more machmer on an in-law than we are on the actual genetic connection? I don't get it. Why would that be? Ah, come on, that's not a good question, says the Gemara to Rava. Because that's exactly what we do say, when it comes to his own daughter-in-law. His own daughter, we just learned out, is what's the chiyuv? Sreifa. And what's the chiyuv of his daughter-in-law, which it says beferish in the Torah? Skila. So you already see that that inconsistency is built into the daughter-in-law relationship. That doesn't matter to me. Come on. I mean, who atzmo yochiach? His own daughter is Besreifa, and his own daughter-in-law is Beskila. So come on, Rava, face the facts. Okay, okay, says Rava, fine. All right, so let's scotch that. All right, so I won't bring that up. But here's a problem, okay? The problem of using the Gzeira Shava is we could just as easily say, Ella, Mahu lo chalakta bo, bein imo lekalato, if you're going to apply the don mina, and you're going to say the same thing has to apply in the place you're applying it to. All right. That I say, says Rava, means a structural application. What does that mean? Very simple. Is there a difference between his mother and his daughter-in-law in terms of the chiyuv? No. They are both a chiyuv of skila. Then this should be mechayev you, the same structure, when it comes to her relatives. So the same thing should be true by her. There should be no distinction between her mother and her daughter-in-law. But we know that her mother and daughter-in-law, the din is that you're supposed to do sreifa. Because certainly it's beferish, we just learned yesterday that the mother is besreifa. So your mother-in-law, her mother, should be sreifa. And how would that exactly work now? That the daughter-in-law should be sreifa, according to this approach. So therefore, that can't work. Again, either if you hold like the Mad Yomer who says sreifa is chamur, so then you also wouldn't be able to use it because you end up with a contradiction in terms. Because whatever it is you're going to be doing, you're going to be applying a different structural halacha than the specific halacha. If you're going to learn out sreifa, first of all, there may be, if you hold skilas more chomer, there may be internal logic contradictions. That's my first problem. But even if not, even if there's no internal logic, there's contradictions in the application of the structure of the Gzeirah Shavah versus the din of the Gzeirah Shavah. If you're going to apply the din of the Gzeirah Shavah, which is skila, and you're going to end up with a contradiction to the structure that the Gzeirah Shavah is bechayev, namely that the onesh of the mother and the daughter-in-law should be the same. But they're not the same. Because if you're going to actually apply the halacha, then it's going to be skila as opposed to sreifa, and then it won't match the skila-skila matchup that it has in the makor, which is you. So therefore, there's no way to use this gzeirah shavah because it's inherently contradictory, according to the Man D'Omar, who says don mina umina. Now, you'll say to me, okay, but you don't run into those problems if you hold don mina v'uki batra, right? Because then you're able to apply it consistently with the wife's relatives. Not true, says Rava. Because now I'll show you that Leman Diyama Don Minava Uki Batra, you also run into problems. Because if you hold Don Minava Uki Batra, okay, what would be the Don Mina? Just like his Kala is Asura, his daughter-in-law is Asura, her daughter-in-law should be Asura to him. All right. Now, let's put that into its own context. Uki Batra. So, I understand that we're deriving it from you, your daughter-in-law. Well, over there, it would be Beskila. But here, if it's your wife's daughter-in-law, in order for it to be consistent with its new context into which you've placed it, utilizing the Gzeirah Shavah, it would have to be Sreifa in order for it to be consistent. Because after all, when it comes to your wife's mother, the din is Sreifa. So when it comes to her daughter and daughter-in-law, it should also be sreifa, right? But that's wrong. It is? Yes, because look, again, if you hold skila is more chomer, so then I'll say, does it make sense to learn out from his case where the mother is beskila, and we should then say in her case that the mother is only sreifa, that we have a right to learn it out? It's nowhere near as chomer, so the Gemara, maybe the Torah is not makbid as much in a case of sreifa than in a case which is nowhere near as chomer as something which is skila. So first of all, it's illogical to apply it. Furthermore, even if you'll say, okay, that doesn't bother me in gzeira shava, but then we end up with a structural contradiction, because we should say, where did you learn it out from? Himself, right? Okay, so in himself, do we not find, as we just saw, that there is a wild difference between his daughter and his daughter-in-law, that his daughter is a chi of Sreifa, and his daughter-in-law is a chi of Skila? Now, I don't know what the reason for that is, and it doesn't bother me what the reason is right now. What I do care about is the structure of that. If we're going to be learning out from a source a particular way that a din is applied in that source, then the application of the equivalent, the Gezeirah Shavah's equivalence in its new location, still demands the same structure. The same structure is that there's going to be a difference between her daughter and her daughter-in-law in terms of your chiyuvim, and that way it will be consistent with the structure of the difference between your daughter and your daughter-in-law in terms of the chiyuvim, right? Does this make sense, guys, or should I just give up on this and just go through it? I'm getting discouraged since everybody looks like they want to go out for a new cup of coffee. Chas v'shalom.
This is critical.
This is such a brilliant point. So that same, the same crazy thing that you pointed out to me before, and I agreed, I gave in, right? I give in. Okay, fine. Let's ignore that. But that point now is very critical itself. Because for some crazy reason, the Torah is more makpid on the daughter-in-law, your daughter-in-law, than it is on your actual daughter, according to my Dharma Old Skila Tzchomer. Fine. So then we're going to have to apply a difference between her daughter and her daughter-in-law, right? So, afhi, she too tachalok ba, bein bita lekalata. So, how, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to say that the daughter-in-law is more chomer than the daughter from her. Now, what's more chomer? Well, that depends on whether you hold sreifa is more chomer, whether you hold skila is more chomer. If you hold, like the man d'omer who's sreifa, is chamura, then it's true. So it's true that if you would say sreifa chamura, you would actually not be able to ask the first question that I asked. First question that I asked is, how can you learn out from something that's a chi of skila, which is chamur, to something which is a chi of sreifa, which is kal? Okay, obviously, if sreifa is more chamur, you can't ask that question. But you can ask this question. Mehai kasha, you cannot apply the gzeirah shava because you end up with an innate contradiction. If you apply the gzeirah shava and you put it bimikoma, then you're actually applying it against the way that it came from because it's structurally not alike. So if you're going to give it the din that's consistent in its new location, which is sreifa, then it turns out to be inconsistent with the structure. Namely, that there needs to be a difference between a daughter and a daughter-in-law. But if you're going to give it that din of sreifa, then there is no difference between the daughter and the daughter-in-law. If, on the other hand, you apply the same din of skila, then you're not being ukiyit ba'atra, because now you're taking it directly out of the original context, namely your daughter-in-law, and applying that to her daughter-in-law, and it would be skila. But that runs against the yisod of don mina v'uki ba'atra. So no matter what you do, you're up the creek without a paddle because you're always going to be contradicting yourself. If the structure is true, then the din isn't true. And if the din is true, then the structure isn't true. Do you see? It's such an amazing analysis. If you're going to put it in its new place, it's going to be sreifa. But if it's sreifa, you're not going to be mekayim, the din of maintain the same structure. Daughter and daughter-in-laws do not have the same onesh. If you create the same onesh by taking the skila from the original place and keeping it, then you're going to be over on the main idea of domino v'uki batra, and you're not putting it into the context into which you're importing it. It's amazing. Let me just turn aside to cry for a few minutes. I'll be right back. All right. Anyway, I'm sure Richie would be happy to bring me a handkerchief if I need it. So.
I get it.
Thank you, Sir Richard. Okay, now we have another very important application of the whole Zima. This was the original application, which we've had for so many times before. How do we know that your bastard daughter is actually a Chiev of Sreifa? Now, remember we noted the incredible fact that when the Torah talks about your own genes that you're not supposed to be married, you're not supposed to be sleeping with, it says, Ervat bat bincha o bat bitcha lo tegale. It focuses on your granddaughter. That's very hard to get through a granddaughter unless you have the original generation to have the granddaughter with, right? Okay. Why don't you mention your daughter? I mean, if the granddaughter is Asura, don't you think you should have said Bitcha o Bat Bina o Bat Bita or something like that? Like, why are we talking about your grandsons, your granddaughter through your son or your granddaughter through your daughter, and never mention your own bastard daughter? Now, your non-bastard daughter, which you had in a marriage, that it does mention. It mentions it in the context of its being your wife's daughter, Ervat Isha Ubita Lotegale, and there too it adds, Bat Benavat, Bat Bitan. Okay, that's reasonable. But why, just because we're talking about Bitomi Anusato, and just because we've switched to the description of out-of-marriage children, why don't we mention the daughter, and how do we know the daughter? So Abaya says, well, isn't it a Kal Vachomer? I mean, look, if your granddaughter is a Chiev Misa for sleeping with her, so isn't your daughter obviously going to be a Chiev Misa? Says the Gemara, well, you know that violates of basic halacha. You're not supposed to be Onshin Min Hadin, and we learned that, we just talked about that yesterday. V'chi Onshin Min Hadin? Abaya, what are you saying? We should be able to utilize a Kal Vachomer in order to give an Onesh? I thought we never do that. Says Abaye, this isn't a Kal Vachomer. This is a Gilui Milta B'Almahu. Look, this is nothing but an indication of an innate logic. It's not an application of, well, certainly because of a lesser reason in one case and a greater reason in the other case. That's not the point. The point is, look, I'll give you an example of a greater reason and a lesser reason that you're going to think is the same. And I'm going to force you to acknowledge that it's not the same. Let's take the fact that the Torah asserted sleeping with your sister who is bat avicha o bat imecha, right? So the Torah says, don't sleep with his sister who is your father's daughter or your mother's daughter. Ah, you will say, ha-ha, but what if she's both of your parents' daughters? So then she's not asura, because it only says she's your father's daughter or your mother's daughter. So you'll say, well, it's a Kal Vachomer. I mean, if you're chayev for one, so then certainly you would be chayev for both, wouldn't you? Now that's a Kal Vachomer. Why do I say that's a Kal Vachomer? Because remember, the nature of the arayot are defined by the Torah. Again, it's not about your feelings about the things. It's not about how it looks. It's not about some kind of social taboo. It has to do with what the Torah defined. In the same way that somebody who becomes a ger, you may not like the fact that he's sleeping with his mother, but she's not his mother. Now, what is that supposed to mean? The Torah defines things differently. And the biology is not necessarily what this was about in determining it. Whatever it was, is this your mother is defined by the Torah or not? So when I'm talking about a sister from a mother or a sister from a father, I'm not discussing a fully shared gene entity of fraternity, okay? And then you're right, it's a Kal Vachomer, but we don't use Kal Vachomers to create Arias to be Machai of you. That would be a Kal Vachomer, and I would agree, says Abaya, that I wouldn't tell you to do that. But this case is different. Why? Because a granddaughter by definition, the very word means that she's coming through your daughter. That's the point. So when the Torah says to you, the next step down is Asura, because of the fact that she is your daughter, so then that's telling you that your daughter is Asura. It's not just a Kal Vachomer the way you normally look at a Kal Vachomer. It says Abaye. That's called a Gilui Milta. It is uncovering for you the fact that those genes are Asuras to you. So then those genes appear in your daughter, except they're not as watered down, but those are Asuras. So what do you want? Okay, fine. If that's the case, I can learn from Rava disagrees. But the fact is that according to Abaye, we don't consider this to be Onchin Min Hadin at all. And Tosis points out 2 days ago that this has nothing to do with the overall question about Onchin Min Hadin. It has to do whether this is called Onchin Min Hadin. Rava says, no. I say, the Makor is our very favorite song. And that is Rav Yitzchak Bar Avodimi's hit. And what's his hit? Asya Hena Hena, Asya Zima Zima. It's another Oscar for Rav Yitzchak Bar Avodimi. It's unbelievable. So we learn out exactly the same din about your daughter. Because where's that? Well, it says Hena in our first pasuk about Bat Pincha, O Bat Bitcha, without a bat, it says Ervatcha, Hena. Oh, wow, okay. And guess what? It says the same thing by Ervat Isha Ubita and Bat Bina and Bat Bita. It says Hena. Wow, amazing. So that means that we've got the same way that the Bat Bina and Bat Bita include the Isra of Bita by Ervat Isha, so too does Bat Bincha and Bat Bitcha include the Bat if it's your own Bat. Two henas. And how do we know that there's a chiyuv of sreifa? Because it also, with that hena, it says zimahi. So since it says zimahi, we know that zima is be'esh yisrafu. That's how we know your daughter is asura, your bastard daughter is asura. Toni avuad rebavin. Now I have another makar. Lefisha lo lamadnu bito ma'anusato. You know where we know it from? And the Torah never mentioned, you notice? Never mentioned your bastard daughter. That's exactly why, in the case of the Bat Ish Kohen, we needed to write, Hutzrach HaKatuv Lomar, Ubat Ish Kohen Ki Techelis Not, Et Avia Hi Mechalelet. Now, the way to read that pasuk is, that bat, I know what you think it means. You think it means if somebody rapes or she goes and sleeps with a guy. I shouldn't say rape. This is a case of she goes and commits adultery. So then she is lessening her father's status and so on. Nah, it means more than that. Why? Because then why did it say bat ish kohen? It could have said bat kohen. Why did it say bat ish kohen? What it's saying is, this is the bat of an ish, but not a person who is married. She only has a father, so to speak, meaning that this is that person's bastard daughter. Fine. Then it says, Ki techel liznot et avia. If she starts to have sex with her father, that's how to read it. Totally different way of reading the pasuk, right? So then it's telling me that in that case, there would be a chiyuv of sreifa. That's why it needs to say it in that way. Whoa, that's a wild interpretation, says the Gemara. So why don't we say that just like a bat kohen, the din is, only she is the one is chayev sreifa. The guy who committed adultery with her, he's chayev in the same way that he would be chayev with any other adultery. To him, the fact that she is a bat kohen is not what's important. That's important to her. But for him, he's chayev, not sreifa, but chenek. So then, if you're applying this pasuk to tell me the case of the man who had slept with his daughter, so then that too should be the same way. Av bito me'anusato. You're going to tell me that if somebody sleeps with his daughter, she is chayev et sreifa, but he is not. Huh. So then maybe he is not, means he's not chayev anything. Maybe, what would it mean? He would mean, it's chayev chenek. Rabbi, no, but that's not a problem. Because since over there the Torah adds the word, et avia hi mechalelet, when is this true that we separate the difference that we mentioned between her and the father? That's what we're trying to say. That's only in the case where there's somebody else, and et avia hi mechalelet. So in other words, she gets this extra chiyav be'eshti sarev because she is profaning, so to speak, her father's status as a kohen. Masha enke in this case is the father is profaning her by sleeping with her, and he's making her into his zonah, and she's not going to be able to eat truma. Therefore, this case is not the one that the Torah is making the distinction. Oh, she's going to be worse off because she went ahead and she was mechalel the father. But obviously, in this case, we're not going to leave her father off. Her father is the one who's doing the chilo. Another answer. Rava says that you can't say that the person who sleeps with her is going to be not chayev in Sreifa, if that person, as you're now applying it, is the father, because Bishlama Hasabafikte Midinid about Koin Vukipta Dinid about Yisrael. It makes sense if the person is somebody else, and he's committing adultery. And if he would commit adultery with anybody else, he would be chayiv in the din of adultery, which is, as we saw, Chenek. This particular thing does not affect him, it affects her. So that makes sense, because you're just leaving him in the status that he would normally have been. But in this case, what are you going to do? What is his din going to be? Adina deman mukmisla. If you say the Torah's chiv is not chal on him, so what chiv are you going to give the father who sleeps with his daughter? You're going to give him the chiv what? Of a woman who's penuya? And she, you're not even chayev misa at all? Does that make sense? You have no other category in which to put him. So if there's two categories, now you're questioning, is he in the category of a standard adultery, or is he in her category of the adultery of a bat kohen? That makes sense that the Torah distinguishes between the two. You're going to say we should give the same halacha and say what? You don't have anything to say. You don't have another category to put the father who's now raping his daughter in. Okay. Wow. Woo. Now, let me ask you another question. You told me how I know there's a chiyav of Misa. You didn't tell me where it says it's Usher. Where does it say it's Usher? Azara lebito munu sato minayin. Now, yes, according to Abaya and Rava, it's the same thing. I mean, Rava said it's from Asya Hina Hina Asya Zima Zima. So there I know both the Azara and the Onesh. And according to Abaye, it's exactly the same thing. It speaks out in the Pasuk to tell us that this means imcha, or it means the kaloscha, and he uses the same simple kal v'chomer, which he says is only a gilui milsa, well, so then it'll give you the same halacha. Abaye has always the simplest applications. But what about according to the Avua de Rebavit? How about over there? I mean, it says, Bibat Ish Kohen. There it's only talking about the Eshti Sarev. Where does it say in that pasuk, do not sleep with your daughter who is a bastard? Where does it say that? Amar Rabbi Lai. That would be from the general Isser. Al Techalel et Bitcha Lahaznota. Okay, so this is a general idea. Don't put your daughter into a position of being mechulal. Well, obviously, if you're going to rape your daughter, you're being mechalel her, in the sense that you're desecrating her. So you have incest with a daughter, that's a desecration. Matkekvor of Yaakov, Achuder of Acha. Wait a second. Is that necessarily what that pasuk is coming from? For? You're telling me that we're using that pasuk as a general azhara? Is that true, though? Doesn't it say, Al techalel et bitcha lahaznota, that we need that for a very important alternative application? It's la'achyuda atami by Leila Kiritanya. I thought that we learned from that pasuk a very important din. Al techalel et bitcha lahaznota. So what does that mean? Don't make your daughter mechulalet. Now, if you are a kohen and you marry your daughter off to a very high class levi, I mean, is that terrible? Yes. Sure. Because now she's mechulalet in the sense that she can't eat truma anymore, right? So maybe that's what it means. Maybe don't turn your daughter into a person who will not be able to eat truma. Would that be what it means? That's why the Torah said, no, it's only if you turn her into a life of prostitution. It specifies lehaznota, which means we're only talking about a type of chilul that comes through prostitution type of things. And that would be for somebody who actually sells his daughter's sex services. So that would be moser et bito shelo l'shem yishut. But not if you give her a nice levi or a yisrael to marry, that would be perfectly okay. So how do you use the pusik to tell me this new thing? That you're telling me that dafka, this is an azhara, not to sleep with your daughter. I mean, no, this is talking about something else completely. Ah, but if this is all that we're talking about, im kein lemakra al tachel, why does he use a double lashon? Al tachalel, you learn here two different things. First of all, don't sleep with your daughter, which is a chilul. And secondly, don't sell her sexual services to another person. So what is a baye v'rava who do not need this extra lamed? They don't need al techalel et bitcha l'aznota to tell me that you're usher to sleep with your daughter, because that followed either directly from Zima and Hena, 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 Zima, Zima, or directly from what we call the Kal v'chomer, according to Abaye. So what do they do with this pasuk? Omer Rebbe Mani, this means a fascinating halacha. Do not marry your daughter to an old man, because he's not going to be able to sexually satisfy her. So what are you doing to your daughter? You're telling your daughter, go screw around with people and get yourself happy. Your husband's never going to satisfy you. That is a terrible thing to do to a human being. And what you're doing is essentially you're consigning her to a life where she's going to have to hang around other men, because this is the reality of the human condition. She's not going to be satisfied in a relationship with a guy who's 40 years older than her. Just forget about it. And therefore, do not do that. So that's how Rabbi Eliezer learns it. Rabbi Akiva says it's even worse than that. Imagine a case like this. A guy has got a daughter, and she's an older girl already. She's 12 and a half years old, and she wants to get married like any decent girl wants. I mean, she's anxious to have somebody to be warm with, close with, and to have sex with. And you tell her, no, you're too little. You should hang around the house, you know, do the laundry, take care of the cooking. We need a little bit of help in our home, you know. That person is over on this pusik. Because what are you telling her? You're telling her, go into prostitution if you need sex. But you're too young to get married. The guy's crazy. But parents do this all the time. They go and claim that their 12-year-old is not supposed to get married when she's aching for sex. So that is what it's referring to. Mashe bito bogeret. The guy claims to his daughter that she's too young to get married. Omer of Kahana Mishum Rabbi Akiva. You know, Ein lecha ani b'Yisrael, the absolute worst kind of guy that you could have in the whole Klal Yisrael, are what we think are two things. A Russia, a Rum, a phony Russia who claims to be doing things right, and somebody who keeps his poor 12-year-old daughter from getting married. I understand. Somebody who keeps his poor 12-year-old daughter from getting married is a Russia, a Rum. He's claiming that it's all for your own good, darling. You're too young to get married, and you don't realize what you're getting into, and it would be a big mistake for you to get married. So he's making pretend that it's all about his concern for her, when in reality, he wants somebody to do his cooking and his socks for him. So isn't that a Rosha Aram? Yes. No, that's exactly what it means. Hakikoma. Who is a Rosha Aram? They're not two different things. You're defining. Who is a Rosha Aram? This is someone who tries to keep his overly mature girl who's already 12 and a half years old. Oh my gosh. And he refuses to let her get married because deep down he wants a mate. The Omer of Kahana, Mishum Rabbi Akiva, always be careful when parents are giving you good ideas. Make certain that they don't have hidden agendas. So have a zoher mina yoetzech lefi darko. If somebody's got a hidden agenda, it sounds like it's a wholehearted concern for you, and he'll give you a 3-hour explanation of why this is the best thing you can do for yourself. But if you know that he's got vested interests, be very careful from taking advice from people like that. Omer Yehuda Omer Rav. Another thing that is nogea the same halacha, somebody marries off his daughter to an old man, or someone takes another woman for his young son, or someone who gives back an aveda to a goy. So he's marks her aveda lakut. And why does he do this? Because it's, you know, it's moral. It's the right thing to do. And that is where the Torah says, Alav ha-katuv omer, l'man sfot harava atatzme'a, lo yoveh Hashem siloach lo. So the simple meaning, in the original context, of course, which is the bris that we're making with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're coming into Eretz Yisrael, and such a person wants to do averes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be attaching the rava etatzme'a, and this way, what is rava and tzme'a? So the portion of meaning that we learned over there, according to the Targum, is that somebody who is actually raveh, and which means that he doesn't feel a drive to do these things, that's someone who is tzme'a, is somebody who is going out of his way to do these things. So the Targum utilizes it as, we're going to be mechayev you for your shogeg, like we are for your mazit. But that's a simple way of learning the pasuk. Here we're saying, if you put together somebody who is thirsty for sex, or somebody who has no desire for sex, so therefore, either direction, you're going to take for your not yet bar mitzvah son, so zbano katan. So he's not so turned on, he's not bar mitzvah yet. So therefore, if you take a woman for him, this was very common, by the way, remember, because you needed to be married in many places in Europe. You needed to be married before you were 13 in order not to get dragged away to the army. And they used to actually do this all the time and make a bar mitzvah. The question is, was the bar mitzvah before the marriage or was it bar mitzvah after the marriage? And that was a very common question. It sounds funny now, but this was a pretty standard situation. But anyway, so the kid is not really sexually turned on. And you're taking a girl for him who is sexually turned on. And that is a terrible thing to do because you're taking the rava, the person who doesn't desire connection, to the tzme'a. You're taking this poor girl who is desperate for someone to sleep with her, and this little boy is not really going to be able to satisfy her, or vice versa. You're taking the rava, who's the old man, and is no longer interested, and you're going to put him together with this young girl who is tzme'a, and that is a terrible thing. Lo yoveh Hashem shloach lo. It's an incredible psukim. God will not forgive you for depriving someone of sexual satisfaction. It's an unbelievable pasuk. And in the other case, which is that you're going to give back after all, my bleeding heart liberalism and my deep concern for morality shows me that the person who lost this on his way out of church, he's going to come home and he's going to be miserable. I lost my wallet. What should I do? I mean, obviously I'm going to give him back his wallet. I mean, if you do that, then you're taking the people that are rava from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they have no desire for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they're not going to use this wallet for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you're going to put that person together with those who are thirsty for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they're saying, and you're going to say, it's exactly the same. I mean, come on, we're talking about decency, common decency. Lo yoveh Hashem shloach lo. You make an equivalence between those two people, and it's all about being moral. God will never forgive you. Unbelievable. Obviously, as we paskin halacha, if you're giving it back in order to establish to these goyim how moral in their eyes Bnei Yisrael are, fine, so then that's a Kiddush Hashem. But in your own mind, to equate the thirsty with the people who have no desire for anything, that's disgusting. God will not forgive you. But wait a minute, I thought you're supposed to get your little boy married. Meisve, ha'oevet ishto kegufo, v'amechabda yoter migufo. Somebody who loves his wife and mechabed his wife puts her first before his own self. There's only enough money for one of us to get a new suit. She's the one who's going to get the new suit, right? That is kavod. V'hamadrich banav u'benotav b'derech yishara. Somebody who concentrates on giving guidance to his children to go in a straight path. Now listen to this part. And he gets them married before puberty. Hazmisian samuch lepir kanso. Now that means that you're supposed to get your 12-year-old son married near puberty. Alava katuv omer, on such a person it says, v'yadata ki shalomo alecha ufakata navecha velotechta. If you know that your home is going to be a place of peace and shlemus, and that way you will be pokeid, you will see to it that your naveh, that's your holy abode, so to speak, will not be full of chataim. Because otherwise, what are you telling this kid? Go spend your time masturbating. Go spend your time finding whores. I mean, what are you telling your kid? I don't understand. You're telling your kid, just say no. Ha, ha. So therefore, there's no pekida. You're not giving any type of sexual pekida to your home. Make sure that by the time he's 13 years old, he already has a sexual partner. Now, wait a minute. You said a moment ago that that's going to be destructive to the poor girl that you're going to be taking for him because he's still too young to satisfy her. That's different, says the Gemara. It doesn't say to take it for him when he's 10. It says, Somuch Lepirka. And what is it, a couple of months? His new wife knows that he's soon going to be capable of giving her the right attention. So for that, she's going to have patience. What we were talking about is, what is he? She's going to have to wait till he gets to be 13 when he's only 6? Forget it. So that she's not going to do. That's the difference between Somuch Lepirka or just being a rochak, which we thought, lepirka. Tanur Rabbana. Once we already brought the braita in order for it to be akasha on the iser of marrying this young son, we're already telling you the rest of the braita. Okay. So the rest of the braita says, ha'ohevet shchina v'amekarevet krovav. Somebody who loves his neighbors, he is close to his relatives, he's noseet batachoto, he marries his niece because he feels close to his sister, and this way he knows that he's keeping it in the family and that he's going to have tolerance for her because uncles usually love their nieces. Somebody is in need desperately. He gives them a loan to be able to tide them over. That's because this is based on the pasuk. Alo prots lora evlach mecha, vaniim rudim tavi baye, ki tireh aron vechisito, umipsarcha lo titalam. These are the diyukim that the Gemara makes in other places, that this is what it's merames to. Anyway, can we get back on target? So the target was looking into these three psukim that we had, and there was this one extra word that we hadn't finished yet, and that was the pasuk in Kiddushim, where over there it says, Isha sher yikachet isha ve'et ima zimahi be'esh yisrafu, and it said something so weird, be'esh yisrafu oto ve'et hen. What do you mean, ve'et hen? And then, what, you're supposed to, like, kill the wife because her husband slept with her mother? I don't understand. What is oto ve'et hen? Who are the et hen? So what do these things mean? So there's a machlokes. Rabbi Shmuel says oto ve'et hen. Oto ve'et hen means Greek hen, which is the word for echad, as we'll see. And Rabbi Akiva says no, it means both of them. So what are they talking about? This is the machlokas that we said before, at the very beginning of the sugya, between Abaye and Verova. We said there was a machlokas, whether there is a pasuk that refers to both mother-in-law and grandmother-in-law, remember? And that was the machlokas right at the first words of the Mishnah. How do we understand those opening words? Is it isha ubita both, or is it an isha who nasabita, where he had married the daughter? That was the machlokas that we said. How do we understand that? And here is, at last, we got up to this right before we get to the next Mishnah. Omer Abaye, this is a question only of Mashma'ut Dorshin. There is no nafkamina lahalacha, says Abaye. Rabbi Yishmael understands it in terms of the Greek. So he's saying, oto ve'ethin, meaning there's only one of them, and that is the mother-in-law. Shekein b'loshon yevani, korim la'achat hina. Okay, so this would be how I would say one. So the one would be a reference to the one that is Asura, namely the mother-in-law. How do I know that a grandmother-in-law is included? No, that I only know as we learned it out from the famous drasha of Hena Hena and Zima Zima. Rabbi Akiva says, no, Otove Aten refers to two women that are both going to be Chayev. What would that be? It means otove etchtehen, and therefore this is the place in the Torah where we're talking about beferish, not only the mother-in-law, but the grandmother-in-law. So in this case, his wife's mother and his wife's grandmother, both of them are going to be usher on him. So that's why we said at the beginning of the parak that according to Rava, the Mishnah would be stating two things as the model and would say included in that model are nine cases, which includes the model itself. Remember that old discussion. This is where we finally get to it. So therefore, according, this would be the nafkamina in whether it actually says your mother-in-law's mother. There's another explanation. The other explanation goes like this, according to Rava. Basically, there's a difference, la'alacha, between chamoto la'achar mita. Rabbi Shmuel says that the din is that after the man's wife dies, his mother-in-law remains asura to him, just as before. But according to me, even Rabbi Akiva is made that we need the Gezerah Shava to tell me, Hena Hena Zima Zima, about the mother-in-law's mother. The reason that it would repeat it over here, the Esen, is that they remain Asura. That's the point. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says, yes, they do remain Asura. But we do not learn from here, Esen, that there's actually both of them would be Asur. But it doesn't say anywhere that there's actually a chiyuv of Sreifa. This, according to Rashi, this is a big machlokes, but according to Rashi, the mocker of this iser is a lav, which is Arur Shochev im Chotanto and Omar Kolaam Amen. So it's a totally different context, according to Rashi. That's not how the Rambam paskins. The Rambam paskins, it's the same iser, but there's not the chiyuv of Misa, but you're still left with the chiyuv of Karet.